Hi, Clara. Thanks for joining us today on IPR.
Hi.
You describe yourself in your bio with three items, and I was hoping we could talk about each of the three. You are a drummer, you're a percussionist, and you're a producer. So enlighten me on the difference between being a drummer and a percussionist.
Yeah, for me, there's a bit of a chronological explanation to it. I started out on the drum set, so I was about 8 years old, started playing. It was a very intuitive thing because I was just playing along to like funk music or whatever my dad liked at the time. And yeah, so that was kind of just my initiation into percussion in general. And then when I was around like middle school age, I started to get into percussion and play with youth orchestras and go to Interlochen eventually. So percussion ended up being my career path, and it's most of what I do in New York for a living. But I kind of ignored drum set for many years in that process when I was starting to get more serious about percussion and classical percussion. Yeah, so I joined a band like about 5 years ago, Infinity Shred, and started to play drums again. And that was just a really nice like renaissance for me because it was like a way to let loose from some of the, tighter tighter like environments of the classical world. But they kind of have different demands. Not all percussionists play drums, and not all drummers play percussion. And I've really enjoyed that sweet spot in the middle. I've done some fun projects where they call for like a drummer who can, read complicated music, or a percussionist who can jam or whatever. So that's that separation.
But as a classical percussionist, do you primarily play marimba? Is there one instrument you focus on?
For a long time, marimba has been my kind of primary instrument within the percussion world. I mean, I love all of it. And I think when you play contemporary music, you end up having this like openness to everything. And so, one day my instrument, or like for a month, I might be doing a project where it's like I'm playing guitar shells as my primary instrument, and that becomes my instrument. But throughout that, and definitely throughout my time at Interlochen and into college, I guess marimba and vibraphone were kind of a through line because they're just like really expressive instruments. I mean, it just felt like the most parallel to what my melodic and harmonic friends got to do.
Well, as a percussionist, you have played with Sow Percussion, you've played with ICE or the International Contemporary Ensemble, but I'm guessing that many of our listeners may have heard your work as a performer in a couple of recent films. So tell us about some of the films where you can be heard in the soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm from Los Angeles, and that's kind of the world I got brought into. One of my earliest percussion teachers, Don Williams, he's the brother of John Williams. Let's see, I've worked with the composer Brian Tyler, who composes for the Fast and the Furious series. So I got to play in Fate of the Furious, which was a super fun score. It's fun to play on these action movies that have like a million percussionists, and it just sounds huge, and it's kind of surreal to be in the movie theater and watching some like ridiculous car scene, and there's just a ton of like swish 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 like suspended cymbal and gongs and drums, and just be like, wow, that's us.
So we
Yeah,
should pay the extra to go see it in IMAX so that we can hear all
absolutely.
the percussion instruments.
Absolutely. And really, yeah, exactly. Really tune into those percussion instruments next time.
And also, nostalgic for my childhood and probably yours too. Weren't you in the newer Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack?
I was. Yeah, it's funny to while that was happening, I would kind of they project the film cue that you're recording to in the studio space while you're working on it. And so if I wasn't playing on a queue or something, I would turn back and see the kind of crazy CGI turtles that they were doing in this newer version. And I remember being kind of confused, like, what is this movie? But yeah, that was really fun to play and equally just an exciting action-packed score.
Clara, in addition to being a drummer and a percussionist, you're also a producer and composer. And what's interesting is a lot of the music that you write, we should say, you're not going to be performing a piece of music for us today over Zoom in the way that many of our previous guests here on Notes from Home have. But we're going to listen to music that you have written during this time of quarantine. Tell us a little bit about your compositional style, your compositional process.
I always felt this connection to composition, but was pretty intimidated about it for a long time. My two bandmates were really familiar with the music program Ableton, just like an electronic music production program. And they kind of just like slowly taught it to me, you know, and I would just ask questions here and there and learn the ropes. And so that just kind of became my way of writing. I was really comfortable with it. And then I discovered that when I was working in Ableton, I ended up wanting to do things that felt like classical composition because I'm very familiar with classical music, but it's just my tool was pretty different than, I guess, the normal process of like pen to paper notes for performers. So I use a combination of like my own recordings. I do a lot of field recording that I either use as is or I manipulate it. I use my own voice, even though I'm not a singer, but I use it for all kinds of effects. And then I do, you know, I'll also play. I mean, I do my own playing and often manipulate it. I mean, to me, the really fun thing is to just record raw audio and then throw it into these programs where you can, you know, cut things up and stretch them out and pitch them up and down. And
this kind of composition you do, it's, you're working directly with sound instead of putting black dots on a page that then a performer turns into sound. You yourself are creating or manipulating the sounds.
It's funny because my dad's a composer and he's an orchestrator and I grew up with that around me, but I always felt kind of intimidated by it.
I've got to say though, what you do is kind of similar to orchestration though, in a way, because you know, in the way that an orchestrator thinks, okay, I want flutes and violas here to create this sound. You might start with something raw and think, okay, I want to pitch this higher or lower or faster or slower too.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the cool things about working in a program like Ableton is that you do have your several channels and you see it all very clearly in front of you. And in that sense, it is like looking at a, you know, a score sheet where you see all the different instrument staves.
We're going to listen to a piece that you have composed recently. And in fact, I should tell our listeners that you and I have been emailing for a couple days prior to recording this interview. And the version of this piece they're going to hear, it's actually been created, what, in the last 12 or 18 hours?
Yeah, it lasts like 5 hours.
It's called A Walk in Silver Glass Garden. Tell us about the sound sources for this.
I've been working on a sound art installation concept. And in doing so, I realized that I really needed some vocal samples and I wanted some that were sort of irregular and personal. So I just asked my friends on Instagram. I was like, can anyone just send me vocal samples? Like just sing a note and that's it. And it was great. I had all these friends, musicians and non-musicians, send me a voice memo of them going, ah. And I was using that for a totally different purpose. But in doing so, I sort of created an instrument, like a keyboard instrument that had a, you know, every note corresponded to its rightful vocal pitch. And it was just kind of like playing this chorus, you know, it's like an imperfect, interesting little chorus. And I didn't touch it for a few days. I just made it. And then yesterday morning, actually, I was just sitting outside, and I'm lucky enough to be isolating in a very like naturally beautiful environment. And so I was just enjoying my coffee outside, birds are chirping, and I opened up that project and I kind of started just improvising, which isn't something I do too often, but I improvise on that instrument with the vocal samples. And in one take, I felt like, okay, cool, that's that's it. And it kind of felt like the equivalent of an impromptu in classical music. It's just like a short little improvisation and that's it.
And it's funny, you shared that with me and I listened, and then you decided to add a percussion track to it just in the last few hours. So how did that come about? Because where you are right now, you don't have a lot of instruments with you.
I do not. Yeah,
well, normally I say traditional instruments that Jay Berry might sign out to you.
Exactly. Exactly. Not many of those. If I were at home, I have a studio. I have, you know, pretty much every percussion instrument available to me. But I haven't been in that world or environment for the last 2 months. I've had a few pieces of an old drum set and a piano, and that's it. And so, you know, just while thinking about performance, which I haven't been doing as much the last couple months, I guess I got excited again about it. I have to admit that I've been not super excited about performance. I think a lot of musicians share that sentiment right now because, you know, we're wondering like, what is the future of our livelihood? And do I have my instrument here? Do I not? You know, everyone's kind of all over the place. And so this has just been a nice occasion to sort of wake up that sling performer inside of me. And I found some, well, sorry, I'm getting kind of long-winded, but I was from cooking a lot, which a lot of people are doing. I've been listening to the sounds of some of the kitchen appliances in the house where I'm staying. They're not my kitchen appliances, so the sounds seem new. You know, I'll be mixing in a bowl and be like, wow, that's a gorgeous bowl sound. Washing something and thinking, wow, the way the water swishes in this metal bowl, it's gorgeous.
I have to say my favorite sound is the sound of my husband emptying the dishwasher, so I don't
know. That's a beautiful sound.
Just fabulous sound. But
yeah, so I gathered a bunch of those kitchen appliances and did the old pots and pans thing and sort of did a little bit of an improvisation on top of that improvisation. So it sounds a lot like gongs and instruments that I maybe would have chosen if I had access to them. So it was a cool accident.
Well, let's listen to it. It's called A Walk in Silver Glass Garden, music of our guest, Claire Warnar, and the instruments we're hearing are her friends' voices and the pots and pans in the kitchen of where she's staying in rural New York.
Thank you.
You're listening to Notes from Home on Interlochen Public Radio. We heard music composed by our guest, Claire Warnar. It's called A Walk in Silver Glass Garden. Claire, I swear I heard bird sounds in that. Was I, how, where, were those actual birds or is that production?
It's a valid, no, it's a valid question because I remember when I was working on it, there'd be a section where I'm like, oh, I really want birds here. No, all of those were a part of the performance. I was outside and let those natural sounds seep into the recording. And I think that there was something about the fact that the original kind of vocal improvisation I did outside, and it was sort of in the spirit of the outdoors. And then I came up with the title and there was this like garden-y aspect to it. And so when it came time to record a live performance, I felt like, yeah, let's keep with the outside. I don't need to shut any of that out.
Okay, I didn't know if it was maybe production magic and you were tricking me into thinking I was hearing birds. And
no, those are real life authentic birds.
Well, Clara, you have this other interesting project. Well, you have many interesting projects you're working on, but you have this commissioning project related to New Age music, but the 21st century version of New Age music. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I used the phrase post-New Age the other day to my boyfriend, and we both looked at each other and we're like, oh yeah, why don't I just use that term? It's what it is.
New Age.
New Age. That's what I've been saying. I was saying it's new Age music.
Nouveau, yeah, okay.
I know. About a year ago, I started this project. It's called A New Age for New Age. It came from a place of thinking about New Age music and how weird it is. I mean, a lot of New Age music, especially to musicians, professional musicians, classical musicians, you know, a lot of people really look down on New Age music. They're just like, oh, that's that like commercial, you know, drudge. Like,
no acoustic instruments were harmed and they're making.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that angle. On the other side, I've definitely heard artists that qualify as New Age that are amazing. You know, people can say that Brian Eno is New Age. You know, he's been thrown on plenty of compilations and playlists that are New Age. I would go get a massage to Brian Eno's music. like there's all these kinds of interesting aspects to it, and it's so wide ranging. So coming from this place of both confusion and at times disgust and at times total admiration, I thought, what would happen if I asked all my fellow musicians and artists, if I asked them to write New Age music, you know, to write a New Age song? And so this compilation series, it's that's exactly what it is. It's just all these artists from different genres who either are writing something that would fall under the genre, or they're totally like breaking it, you know, they're sort of doing weird remixy type things that are not at all New Age, but reference it, you know, in some kind of way. Maybe there's a nature soundtrack or something, you know, and also like spoken word, you know, I just basically leave it totally open to the artist to do whatever they want and see what happens. The results are very wide-ranging and really interesting. And so I put out the first volume in December and had a successful Kickstarter to help fund that. Now volume two is pretty much ready to go. And I'm just finalizing a release date and a few more details. And I'm looking forward to just seeing where it goes. It's an ongoing series. I want to see, you know, like it's open to anyone, and I want to see the most diverse results as possible. That's kind of the idea.
Well, folks, we'll put a link to this new age project that Clara's working on our website at classicalipr.org. Claire Warner is a drummer, a percussionist, and a producer based in New York. Thank you so much for joining us today on Notes from Home from Interlochen Public Radio.
Thanks so much, Amanda.